ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We can change.
Certainly can. One heart and mind at a time. Ah, good show, Mr. Rowe. And this is Jay Parker for The Center Path on Revolution Radio. It's the Thursday, January 25th, 2024 show. I'm going to have Mark Passio as a guest tonight. Find that ad button. What am I doing? That's not it. Oh, I know it's here somewhere. Anyway, lots of amazing things going on. Understand this. Now, this is just. What are you doing? I'm having a lot of fun here. Sorry about this, folks. What's going on? This is just ridiculous. What's going on? Don't mind me. I don't understand this. I'll get this straightened out. Understand. All right, I got it straightened out. Let's bring in Mark Passio. Oh, I'm getting old, folks. Don't mind me. Now, what is wrong with me tonight? Oh, gosh. Come on. What is this doing? All right, there it is.
All right.
Yay. I mean, I'm just, you know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, from whatonearthishappening.com, once again, because it's the end of the world coming up, I have convinced Mark Passio to join me tonight.
Jay,
well,
thank
I figure
you for
we have
the...
so much knowledge between the two of us. We
sure.
should just have a conversation and trigger one another.
Absolutely.
To talk about some things that... you might find interesting here on Revolution.Radio.
Well, thank you for inviting me on for the third time in as many weeks. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, you're doing really good work on your Sunday show. And I want people to understand that, you know, time's really short. And if you haven't checked out Mark's work, you know, you really... You shouldn't go into a nuclear war without having that knowledge.
It's good advice.
It, you know, it might help you to make a cockroach souffle.
Yeah, you know, coming back and doing the weekly show has been, you know, really good so far. I'm happy with the first two shows since I came back on January 14th. I do a 6 month on, 6 month off format because I personally feel that it is as important to teach people how to create media as it is to deliver media. So for 6 months out of the year, I do my weekly, you know, internet based video show called What on Earth is Happening. And, you know, I put those up as podcasts on my website. And then for the second 6 months of the year, from July through December, I teach an all-encompassing media course that is called How to Become the True Media, that teaches people how to become a content creator in their own right. It's for people who are gun-shy about technology, who don't really know where to begin when it comes to the creation of media or reaching out to people in a public capacity. And I teach them the technical know-how that they need to know in order to do that and to go out and basically put their knowledge out into the world. And I try to get them over their fears of technology, get them over the technological hurdles, and teach them the basics of what they need to know from the very basic operating system skills, all the way up to things like doing a live streaming video show and building their own website. So that's what I do during the second 6 months. We just wrapped up, concluded the 2023 seminar year in December, and it went extremely successfully. It was one of the best class of students that I've had so far. And was able to share a lot of know-how in this year's seminar. And hopefully we'll have at least a few new content creators, come out and start publicly sharing their knowledge as a result of that seminar. And then in January every year, I restart my live video show. As I said, I've already gotten two under the belt so far. And I've gone into the topic on this new season. I've actually revisited the topic that I call the unholy feminine. It's a controversial topic, but it is essentially about the...
My mother.
It would certainly, she would certainly fall into that that category, no doubt. But what it is essentially about is the type of satanically directed mind control that is specifically directed at women in our society and tailored to completely modify the thought process and influence the mindset and worldview of women in our society. Because as every tyrant throughout human history has essentially known and often said publicly, once you have the minds of women in a society, the men and the children's minds follow that. Women are often...
famous quote by Hitler.
Right. Women are often not even cognizant of the power, the suggestive power, and the power to steer members of human society in any given direction. And they don't understand how social engineers are almost always giving them their worldview, their preferences, their likes, dislikes, tastes, opinions. You could look at things like, Edward Bernays, his book Propaganda or Shaping Public Opinion, and, just essentially look at social engineering as a whole, as a topic, to understand that women are often the most highly targeted in that regard. And, I'm trying to expose the techniques. This is what I've really been doing since I started What on Earth is Happening, expose the mind control and social engineering techniques that are perpetrated and, utilized upon all human beings. But this year on the show, my focus, at least in the first portion of the shows, in the earlier part of this 6 month period, I'm just going to hammer on the topic of the types and techniques of mind control programs that are directed against women, particularly in our society.
Well, there seems to be a revival of traditional roles going on right now. There seems to be, more and more you see a little bit of blowback from the social engineering of the World Economic Forum.
Right.
And people, you look at the farmers all over Europe right now, they all realize that, hey, they want to shut down all the food production. And they're freaking out all over Europe, whether it's Germany, the Netherlands, France, all the farmers are bringing their tractors out and spraying government buildings with manure and just trying to let the Klaus Schwabs of the world know that we're not going to go down without a fight.
There's definitely somewhat of a resurgence, as you said, of those traditional roles and some blowback. In many cases, they overplayed aspects of their hand. And in other cases, people are still very ignorant of the social engineering techniques that are being utilized and deployed against them. So, you know, it's not a complete lost cause. I would really like to see people wake up in a far wider way, insofar as their understanding of true objective morality, instead of their belief in many cases of religiously based morality, which is not true morality. It is skewed through the lens of religiosity and, you know, dogma. So I would like to see them wake up to true morality, which is what natural law is ultimately about. And I'd really like to see them wake up to the presence of occultism throughout our society and how it plays a complete, critical and indispensable role in social engineering and mind control. I think one of the failures of the truth and freedom movements is the lack of real based understanding of what occultism is, particularly dark occultism, particularly Satanism, in our society. People still insist that Satanism is something that it is absolutely is not. Many people don't understand how important it is to understand what Satanism really is or why. They don't understand the role that it plays in shaping human society and directing it. And people have a completely erroneous, false notion of what Satanism is, and don't understand that it is not what religion tells us that it is, and it is not what Hollywood tells us that it is. So it's two of the most difficult things that I've really ever tried to do, is try to explain to people that the idea of morality that they've been given through religious traditions are falsified and are diluted and watered down and is not what real objective morality under natural law actually is. Then you have the opposite contingency of people that are often have no spirituality and are often atheists, and they throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater because of how ridiculous and completely dogmatic traditional views, religious views of morality have been. And so they throw out the baby with the bathwater and throw out morality with the ridiculous dogmatic notions that religions put forward, which I agree, people should do that. All religions do the same thing. They take a core truth having to do with something that is important, like true morality, and then they distort it through the lens of their particular religious tradition and turn it into some dogmatic function that it was never intended to be, and then put all of their preferences and likes and dislikes and tastes and subjective opinions into what they're claiming morality is. And what that basically does is it makes people realize that their religious dogma is full of crap, but then they take an additional step that really does a lot of damage in our society. And they say, because this religious tradition is talking about morality, let's throw the whole idea of morality out with the religion. This is something that our society largely still has not fully understood has happened. They, still break up into these dialectical camps of, I'm going to hold fast to my religious dogma. I'm going to hold fast to my brand, of fast food when it comes to spirituality. And I'm not going to try to look past what my dogmatic religious tradition has told me about morality to find true objective morality, because there is such a thing. And all the people that dismiss morality because they falsely and incorrectly dismiss true morality because they correctly dismiss religious dogma and religious traditions that have gone overboard with their worldview and their view of what they say morality is, because they are ultimately about control, just like governmental systems, just like financial systems. Religious systems have really traditionally been about controlling people's minds, what they think, what their preferences are, and steer their behavior in society. Religion is a function of social engineering, just like government is, just like money is. And, you know, two of the hardest things, as I've said, that I've ever had to do through my work is attempt to teach people what true objective morality is, and that that has nothing to do with religious dogma, because you get tension and you get opposition from both sides. You get it from the religionists with their dogmatic religious traditions that are trying to tell you, no, 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 my religious view of morality is the only correct one because my religious text says so. And then you get a lot of blowback and opposition from the left-brained atheists, people who believe in scientism, meaning science as the only, institution that could ever tell people what truth is or you know, garner any truth. And you get blowback and you get opposition from them because they want to throw out the idea of morality because they're so opposed to religious traditions. And that's why, you know, my work makes everybody angry, because I'm not for religiosity and I'm not for atheism and absence of spirituality. I'm not for any political team. I'm not a fan of money and corporations. I'm not a leftist nor a right winger. I don't stand for people or any human institutions or traditionalist ideas that humanity has put forward up to this point. I only stand for what is true and what is right and moral, from an objective, natural point of view. And that generally makes everybody upset, because what you're ultimately talking about there is the actual laws of the creator of the universe regarding human behavior. And almost no human being wants those laws to even exist, let alone wants to understand them. Because
you can't really blame them, Mark. I mean, because what you're trying to sell is, you know, self-responsibility.
God help us. You know, God forbid. I mean, just string that man.
No one wants that.
String him up to the nearest tree, you know?
Well, I prefer to burn you at the stake, but we'll just leave it there.
Fire has always been the tool used by, you know, occultists who really want to take knowledgeable people out of the equation. And, you know, they may still do that with many people if, you know, they move us closer and closer to nuclear annihilation. But they may be trotting out one of the biggest, psyops and false flags in trying to foment a civil war. They're actively at work on that during, you know, election year.
You mean selection year?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's so... so pathetic. I mean, when I first heard your work, I was like, it's a little bit radical. And then as the years go by, I realized that true, you know, Satanism to me is statism.
Of course.
And
of course, if people only understood that what Satanism really is people wanting to be God. And all you have to do to confirm this, well, first of all, you know, probably much of your listening audience, if they do know my work and know my background, know that I was involved in the dark occult. You were involved in the dark occult from being born into a generational family that, had, you know, years and years of involvement. And so it was no choice of your own to have involvement. You were forced into it from birth. My path was different in the sense that I chose entering the world of the dark occult when I was younger, in my, you know, late teens into my 20s, probably up through maybe my mid 20s. And what I really learned about personal direct involvement, I have been trying to explain to people, and still the resistance comes through that people don't want to take the word of a person that was directly involved with their own enemies. This is the equivalent of, like, you know, the NFL, you know, the football teams playing for in the playoffs now, getting ready to, you know, see who's been selected to go into the Super Bowl, because we know these are all rigged things too. And, you know, it's like one team, one of their head coaches, or not even a head coach, just let's say an assistant coach, right? Because I was not high up in the occult. A lot of people keep saying Mark was a high-ranking member of this occult organization. No, I wasn't. I was not a high-ranking member of any occult organization that I ever had involvement with. And the one that I had the most involvement with was Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. So LaVey started the Church of Satan in 1966 as an organization that is all about the ego. It's all about the self. This is what people don't understand about Satanism. It's about wanting the self to be God. And that's what politics and politicians want. They want their laws to be the laws that everybody is forced to obey. Instead of looking at the laws of the creator of the universe and actual, objective, natural, moral laws, and simply aligning your behavior to those, and then you'll eliminate almost all self-inflicted suffering that a species inflicts upon itself when it's unconscious and has not developed true spirituality and an understanding of true morality. So I entered the Church of Satan. I became a priest in that organization. People confuse the term priest with high priest all the time. I say I was a priest, which is the lowest rank in the ranks of this occult organization, and they hear the term, because they've been conditioned to hear whenever someone says priest, high priest. I've never, ever used the term high priest in relation to any occult activity that I was ever involved in. I was never a high priest of anything. I was a priest in the Church of Satan. There are many ranks above priest. Above priest, first of all, before I became a priest, I was simply member of the Church of Satan. That is the lowest rank within the organization. You could become an actual official dues-paying member of the organization. And it's only one due that you pay one time, and it's a lifetime membership. I paid those dues. I became a member. So that's the first thing. You can only be considered a rank-and-file member of the Church of Satan by doing that. I did that. I was a member. I attracted the attention of Anton LaVey and some other people within the Church of Satan, and Anton LaVey actually commissioned me on his own, without me asking him to do so, as a priest in the Church of Satan. Do not, anyone hearing this, do not conflate what I said and insist that I said high priest. I said priest. That is the rank above member. The ranks above that in this particular satanic organization are magister. A magister is a controller or commander. You could look at it like a lieutenant over a private, over many privates in the army. Magister is like a lieutenant priest that has the duties and rights to direct many other priests. Okay, so they're a higher ranking priest. Look at it as like a cardinal or a bishop in the church, in the Roman Catholic Church, okay, who then can send orders down to other priests. Okay, above magister, and obviously there is priest and priestess, because both genders are involved in Satanism and the Church of Satan, the organization that I had the most involvement with when I was in the dark occult in my 20s. There is priest and priestess. There is magister and magistra. And then above that, there is a council formed of nine people that forms the overall directional avenue of the Church of Satan organization. They're called the Council of Nine. Okay, so you could look at them as a Congress or a special council that directs the general day-to-day activities of all of the other members of the organization. And then above the Council of Nine, this special appointed council, is the high priest, and there's only one of them. While he chooses to continue to hold that ranking, or while he's alive. And from 1966 to 1997, that was Anton LaVey. And again, say whatever you want about Anton LaVey. I personally think he's one of the quote-unquote antichrists of our world because of the amount of minds that he influenced to the negative and against natural law and against objective morality. Some people will insist, because I had any involvement with this person or his organization at all, that you can never, ever, ever trust anything that I've ever said. I think that's one of the most ignorant positions that you could possibly hold, because having been in the ranks of Satanism myself, and having been in it from a ideological point of view of previously purveying the ideology of modern Satanism, I am like one of the assistant coaches on a football team that has access to all of the strategies and plays of the opposing team. So picture, you know, two of the teams playing, I think, are what, San Francisco and Detroit, right? I think I don't follow it that closely, but let's say these two teams are playing, right? And let's say I was on the 49ers team and they're going to play the Lions, right? And I am one of the assistant coaches. And that day, someone did something to really piss me off or alienate me, and I no longer identify with the 49ers, and I have their playbook. I know every play that they're going to run all day. And I take that playbook and I defect and I go to the other side and I take the playbook to the Detroit Lions, and I say, this is their mindset, this is their strategy, this is their playbook, this is what they're going to do, this is what they have been doing, this is what they're doing now, this is what they're going to do in the future. And instead of them saying, wow, we should really probably pay real close attention to what this guy is saying, because he's handing us the playbook of the opposing team and they don't know that they've done that, or even if they did know that they've done that, they don't really have time to adapt their strategy that quickly over the long term. They're probably going to run many of these plays, even if they did know that their playbook was being handed out. And instead, the opposing players and coaches and even the fans just went right up to me and slapped the playbook out of my hands, put it on the floor, stepped on it, spit on it, and did the same thing to me in general. Not everybody did that. There were some people that had some respect for what I have been trying to do. But in general, the bulk of the people of this world have basically said, go F yourself. We're not interested in anything that you have to say. We're not interested in what their playbook is. We're not interested in coming away from our mind control that these very Satanists put us under. We're going to stay right where we're at in our dogmatic positions, whether it comes to how we view religion, how we view the state, how we view money, how we view anything in society. And we will never change our minds unto our doom and death. And the most horrific dynamic in that whole scenario that I laid out is not that that has been people's attitude, largely in humanity. The most horrific thing is that the Satanists who I was working with themselves told me personally, while I was involved with them, that that is exactly what would be the attitude of the average human being, and that I would be spending my life in complete futility attempting to explain to these brainless morons who are completely addicted, like the most addictive heroin being injected into a junkie's veins, addicted to the mindset that the Satanists themselves gave to these people. That's the horror. That's the horror that I have been living for almost the last 20 years.
Well, I've been talking for, the last 14, saying my parents told me 60 years ago, and, you know, I tell that story about my brother coming in to the bedroom telling my brother John and I that he just met this guy, Joe Biden. He's going to be a real big deal someday. Yep. And I said, you know, my mother worked for the DuPont family, and she was a mind control specialist. And they decided back in the early 60s, the Council of 13 had decided that they're going to destroy world society and put the world into a situation that would be the worst that the human race had ever gone through.
Yep.
And not very popular. Yeah. It's like Gandhi saying, there's no higher God than truth. And right. Everybody's like, pfft. Yep. You know, it's like when you watch someone like QAnon and how popular he was.
Right.
And it's like, you know, until you realize the principles of Christ and incorporate them into your heart and mind, and you realize that there is no higher God than truth.
That's
and
right.
You, with St. Paul saying, you know, the all truth, the all truth, the all truth, until your life is based on all truth, I'm going to use my entire faculties to pursue truth and, you know, health. And you know, you look at society and they're not into health. They're not into truth. And like, you know, it sounds like I had one person in the chat room say, well, I can't listen to Mark because, you know, he beats everybody down.
And, no, I don't. That's untrue.
You know,
let me explain why it's untrue. Yeah, let me explain why that position is untrue.
What I'm saying, listen to me here, and then we'll flesh this out. It's like there's a difference between you and I, you know, somewhat punching down on the masses compared to Yuval Noah Harari. Mm-hmm. It's like we are admonishing people to get on the center path of right. consciousness and realize the situation that they're in, that it's all about individual consciousness. It's all about individual commitment to truth. It's all about spirituality. True spirituality is not being a tyrant.
Right.
And it's, you know,
or believing
no
that you're God. There's
no greater freedom fighter that I've ever heard of than Jesus.
Right.
You know? I mean, if you look at his life, and even though they've edited, you know, the New and Old Testament to the point where it's a joke, there's still enough truth in there, and that's because of the creator of the universe. And the creator of the universe has told people, you know, I constitute you reasonable beings. You have a brain. You can figure this out.
Yep.
What's going on?
Free
will.
You know,
you have eyes to see. You can see in your society what's really happening.
Right.
You know, yeah. Kerry Lake has been making waves this week. The gubernatorial candidate that got her election stolen. And, you know, the head of the Republican Party in Arizona tried to bribe her not to run for Senate. And now everybody's like, oh, my God, you know. It's
it
like,
happens every day. I mean, like, stuff like that is that's normal in the world of politics.
Par for the course.
Yeah.
And,
it's so naive that anybody would think that that's not a normal occurrence.
The only not normal occurrence with the story is the fact she talked about it.
Right, right. Yep. Which you usually kept under tight wraps.
Usually they take the money and run.
Before the story could even get out. I want to address whoever in your chat, which I don't know who it is, but and I'll single this generic individual out just to say I am not actually continuously beating up on people. I'm saying what's true. There's a difference. So I described it like this in a recent presentation. Picture if you are the coach of an Olympic, an athlete training for the Olympic Games. Okay, so the Olympics are coming up this summer, right? Let's say you have a track and field athlete. They you know, won a lot of the national competitions. They're going to the Olympics. They're going to represent the United States, and you're their trainer, okay? And you're trying to prepare them for the kind of competition that they're going to face from other countries when they get to the Olympic Games. I think it's in Paris this year, right? Okay, so if you're training this person and they're completely not only resisting your methods when you're an expert and you're explaining to them how they need to train and the methods that they need to go about to get to their stated goal. They've stated, I want to win a medal in my sport in the Olympics. That's their stated goal. Okay? So if you start trying to train them and you know that you can train them to that stated goal because you know what the requirements for the achievement of that goal are, and they're resisting you the entire time, and as they continue to resist your attempts to train them to get to their stated goal that they say they want, simultaneously you see their performance getting not just worse, but it's you know that it's going to be completely inadequate. When they get into the Olympic Games, you know that their competition's going to annihilate them. They're not going to have a chance. They're not going to, not only are they not going to get the gold medal, they're not going to medal at all. They're not even going to finish in the top 10. Okay? It's going to be essentially an embarrassment. Would you want to lie to that person? Do you think it would be any service done unto that person training or actually failing to train to tell them, you got this, man. You got this, girl. No problem. You're going to go in there. You're going to medal. You're definitely going to get the gold. You're right on the path that you need to be on, and you're doing everything required, and you're going to meet those requirements, and you're going to beat all your other competition, and you're going to win the gold medal. You would be lying right to their face, and not only lying to them, you would be doing them a complete disservice because you would be telling them that they're actually doing the things that are required to achieve their goal, when in fact you know that they're not doing the things that are required to achieve their stated goal. So I'm tired of everybody saying I'm negative, that I'm beating up on people, and somehow that because I'm angry and disappointed regarding people's resistance to the understanding of the requirements that they need to understand to achieve their stated goal, that somehow that reflects badly on me. They can take that and shove it where the sun doesn't shine and come and see me personally about it and say it to my face if you're man or woman enough to do it, because no one will. Because the difference between me and them is I'm correct and they're not. And I'll say it just like that to people's face because I know the knowledge that I've won through hard work and effort. I know the knowledge that I've attained. I don't have personal, ill-informed, unread opinions regarding what I think. I know how it actually works. And so can other people. They can learn how it actually works. I'm not going to be this humble jackass that's going to sit there and say, I only know that I know nothing. That's never going to be me because I know the knowledge that I've won. I know the knowledge that I've received. I'm not going to diminish that knowledge or disrespect that knowledge by saying, I can never really know. I can't be sure of it.
My father's favorite saying.
You can never really know. The solipsist wet dream. You know, solipsism. The idea that nothing can be known, that there's no such thing as knowledge. You can never know how anything works.
Which is the opposite of what Christ said.
That's it. He said, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That knowing the truth would be the pathway to human freedom. Like I said, people say, oh, well, what do we need to be saved from? Do we need salvation? Do we need to be saved from something? Yeah, we do. Tyranny, enslavement, hell. That's not something in the hereafter. That's something in the here and now. This world is being turned into hell.
Absolutely.
This world could be a paradise or it could be a hell. And that's our collective aggregate choice.
See, if you listen to Bruce Lipton, this may very well be heaven that has been turned into a hell.
That's right. And it could be turned back into a heaven.
Right.
Like
I mean, one of the things I want to say that the goal is in your mindset to accept that your role in human society is to be a cell in the body of humanity, in the body of Christ. And you have to find out what your gifts are, where you fit, and what your calling to the high calling is, and what you have to do.
Right.
Are you a bone cell? Are you a liver cell? Are you a heart cell? What is your job here? And find, you know, when you find that place in life where you fit in the cosmic worldview, then work is not work. It's actually just who you are.
Right.
So
you take up that role and responsibility and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just tired as let's face it. I mean, I don't want to really mince words or try to exert false humility either. I'm a spiritual world teacher, okay? As are you. And we are trying to explain to people that we want to see succeed how to go about achieving the goal that they're saying they want to achieve, which is, I don't want to be enslaved anymore. I don't want tyranny. I don't want hell. I want freedom. I want prosperity. I want goodness to reign in the world. When you explain to people, these things don't come by wishing it. They come by performing the requirements to achieve that goal. It's not something that you just have in your mind as a state that you want to get to and feel good about getting to. You have to do things to get to that place. Just like the Olympic athlete in training has to train his body to peak performance to get to his stated goal of winning a medal. And what I've just been attempting to tell people is the honest truth. I'm not a negative doomsayer. I'm not a black-pilled person. So for the people that say, all I do is beat up on people, your head is up your ass, and you don't know what you're talking about. You're incorrect regarding who I am and what I do. I'm not full of hatred. I'm not black-pilled, and I'm not beating up on people. I'm saying the truth, which is what I am charged to do by the creator of the universe, regarding other people's performance toward their stated goal. And it's wretched. It's abominable. It's foul and awful. If you're saying you want to achieve freedom and you have not yet understood true morality, true objective morality under natural law, and you have not made a definitive recognition that upon learning that and getting it correct, that you must then teach it to other people so that message spreads throughout the body of humanity, then you don't understand what's going on here, and you don't understand the requirements for getting to your stated goal of true freedom. And me telling you that isn't beating up on you. Me telling you that is being honest with you, which is what my job is to do here. Because if you're going to train an Olympic athlete to win a gold medal, you have to be honest with them about where their performance currently is. And if they're completely underperforming to achieve that goal, you lying to them and telling them they're doing just fine is not doing them a service. You're hurting them, and you're hurting their possible future performance toward their stated goal.
I just was thinking that, you know, people don't understand, especially Christians, that there is a kernel of truth in all the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, because I was raised and one of my altars was as a fundamentalist Christian, I'm most comfortable with Christianity. But
so
the
am
thing
I.
is, difference between true Christianity, which is spiritual,
right,
and churchianity,
yep,
is night and day.
It's a
one
chasm.
Is satanic, and the other is from the Creator.
That's right. There's a chasm of difference between those two things. That's why I consider myself an esoteric Christian or a spiritual Christian. But that is not a church-based Christian. It is not a dogmatic, religiously-based Christian. I understand that the Christ consciousness is what is going to lead humanity to the salvation of extricating themselves from tyranny and hell and arriving at a place of true freedom and prosperity. And you cannot do that by latching on to dogmatic religiosity. You can only do that by truly awakening spiritually, which is what in the New Testament the Christ figure is trying to explain to humanity by the understanding of the golden rule, the understanding that God is within. You know, it's not an externalized force. We have to reach a certain level of consciousness in order to understand how the laws of the Creator operate in our lives and then live in harmony with them instead of bucking them continually. And that's what humanity has been doing. We are continuously bucking and in opposition with the laws of the Creator, and we think that's going to bring us some kind of something good. We think that's going to bring us prosperity. We think we're going to live in harmony and peace together when we will not acknowledge what the true laws of the Creator of the universe are, which is do not do these seven things, the true seven deadly sins: murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. Do not engage in those seven behaviors, which are all forms of one behavior. Do not take that which does not belong to you.
Well, we're going to take a break, and I'll be back in a few. This is Jay Parker on the Center Path, and it's January 25th, 2024.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B. at freedomslips.com.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.Radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back. This is The Center Path. I'm Jay Parker. My guest tonight is once again Mark Passio. And I'm going to try to have Mark on, I've got a call. Yes.
So I was just going to listen in. I'm going to mute myself. This is Penny.
Okay. Anyway, I was talking about, I'm going to talk about a few things about QAnon and things like that with Mark to make some points. But I got a message from Revolution Radio, and I want to share it with you. Basically, we're hurting here at Revolution.Radio, and the monthly goal is $2,000 a month to keep our servers going. And so far this month, the 25th of January, we have raised $285.63. Now, I'm going to pitch in this month, and I'm hoping you will too, because this is not good. And we've got another week almost before the bills come due, but I'd really appreciate if you can, you know, buy us a cup of coffee. It's that simple. They're talking about getting rid of Studio B and cutting back and doing what they can. And it's tough out there. I mean, Bidenomics is definitely doing a number. And you know, since Biden got to office, I've heard and seen people have said that over $24 trillion have been shuffled from the middle and working class to the elite since Biden got into office. It was around $7 trillion during the COVID crisis with the scam that they were running. But now we're talking about, you know, $24 trillion. So they're hoovering all the money from all over the world to make the regular people of the earth as poor as possible so they cannot resist the tyranny of the New World Order. And I know it's tough, but, you know, if you can, try to send a donation to Revolution Radio, because $285 at January 25th is not very good, folks. So we could use your help, and I certainly appreciate it. Anyway, Mark, one of the things that we went through in the last several years was QAnon. Yes. And while QAnon was going on, I was like looking at these people, you know, fall into the psyop, and I was like, lie after lie after lie from QAnon in his drops. And I was saying, this is not of God, because this person lies. And I've even heard of Christians telling me, oh, QAnon had to lie because he needs to throw off the evildoers. And what I'm saying is, when you forgo principles like truth, you know, forget it.
Yeah.
You don't have it. Because
nothing good can come out of it.
You have to maintain the principles of Christ. You have to be honest in every situation. There is no white lie. There is only God or the devil.
There are people who still won't acknowledge that QAnon was a psyop. It was almost identical to Operation Trust, which if people research, they will see the similarities. Operation Trust was essentially an intelligence psyop that was utilized during the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia to basically put people who were loyalists to the czars and did not want to see the Bolsheviks take over Russia and institute eventually their communist, their Marxist and communist system. And Operation Trust was something that they put out there as what is known as a stand-down psyop, which what it does is instead of rallying the support to fight the Bolsheviks, the intelligence operatives for the Bolsheviks put out false stories to potential loyalists who would fight back against the Bolsheviks that the czars had people in, you know, positions of influence, and they had the situation in hand and did not require any help from the public. And what that was designed to do, it was called Operation Trust, because you were supposed to the Bolsheviks were getting the main population that did not want to see them rise to power into the mindset that the loyalists and their people had the situation under control. And so it would get them to stand down from taking any action that would oppose the Bolsheviks and prevent them from coming to power in Russia. And the same exact thing has been done here in America, except it wasn't called Operation Trust. It was called Operation trust the plan. See, they just added two words to the operation. It was Operation Trust the Plan, which is what it was. You know, this is the mantra that was continuously repeated by the QAnon community. And this is another stand down psyop to get people to trust that loyalists of America have the situation in hand and are fighting the neo-communists slash globalists. And they have their people in positions of power and authority, and they're working behind the scenes to put these, you know, globalists in jail. And the average person does not need to get involved. They could just sit back, trust the plan, and eat their popcorn and watch it all unfold on the nightly news. And everything will just work out. Nothing is required of them. No hard work, no influencing of other people's way of thinking, no learning objective morality, no, you know, developing their own spirituality, no doing shadow work upon themselves, no, you know, learning how to use technology so you can actually get the word out about objective morality and natural law and why our society is in the mess that it is in. None of that. We just trust that these people have our backs. They're doing what's needed to be done. They're going to be making big arrests. Whatever happened to all those sealed indictments? You know, where are all those arrests? And these people will deny it to their grave that they got taken. They're incapable. Their ego is so big that they are incapable of acknowledging that they were duped. This is what Satanism is. See, that's exactly what Satanism is. See, I was able to acknowledge I was duped by Satanism. I was able to acknowledge I followed a psychopath named Anton LaVey when I was young. I was able to acknowledge that these people were trying to groom me and bring me up into the ranks of globalism, like what they do with the young leaders of the World Economic Forum. I was able to acknowledge my wrong thinking. My ego was never that big. In the days that I was the blackest, hardest Satanist that I ever was, in the deepest that I've ever fallen in consciousness, I never had an ego on me that big as these people do who still won't admit that they were duped. You got played, boys and girls, played like a fiddle. The globalists played you, the Satanists played you, the dark occultists played you, the social engineers, they played you like a fiddle all night long. And you bought into it and bought into it and bought into it because you don't want the responsibility of doing the hard work for yourself. You wanted to believe that some other external force or power has your interest in mind and is working toward the goal that you say you want.
Which is the opposite of what Christ thought.
That's right. That's right. Do you think Christ wants the Christ figure of the New Testament, whether you believe in his historicity or not, meaning whether he actually existed as a human being and, you know, taught in Galilee as a teacher, or whether you think it's an allegorical tradition, that doesn't even matter to me. The teachings are what is important. Okay, so whether you acknowledge or believe in the historicity of the Christ figure of the New Testament, he was trying to explain to people that you need to get involved yourself and you need to learn true morality. You need to learn the true difference in the universe between right and wrong. And then you need to willfully choose right over wrong and then stick to those principles no matter how difficult it becomes or no matter what you're threatened with. Even unto a painful, torturous death. That's the allegory. That's the allegory. And people laughingly calling themselves Christians today still don't understand this. Like, I can't even believe they can't understand simple morality. Don't take that which does not belong to you to take. They don't understand murder is the theft of life that doesn't belong to you. Assault is the theft of well-being that isn't yours to take from another. Rape is the theft of sexual free association that someone else has bodily autonomy and can decide who they want to have sexual relation with, and you shouldn't force yourself on anybody. Theft is the taking of physical property from another being that doesn't belong to you. Trespass is the taking of someone's security in their living space, their living domain. Coercion is the theft of someone else's free will to make their own choices and decisions without being put under duress, which is the threat of violence being done to them if they don't comply. If you do that, you're taking their free will, which doesn't belong to you to take. And deception is the taking of someone's ability to make truly informed choices based on accurate information. If you willfully lie to them to deceive them and give them information that you factually know to be false. So these are the true seven deadly sins. Religion gives us the false seven deadly sins. Churchianity teaches us that preferences somehow are sins and transgressions against the Creator's laws. So the seven deadly sins of churchianity are pride, gluttony, sloth, lust, anger, jealousy, and greed. So tell me, if you simply engage in those thought forms, are you actively performing an action? Are you initiating an action that causes harm to another sentient being? No. You are simply engaging in behaviors that are not preferential, that you don't want to dwell in, because if you dwell in those thought forms, then yes, you will become a debased being at some point, and then perhaps do the initiation of behaviors that actually do cause harm, which are murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception, all forms of theft. There's only one true transgression against the Creator's laws. Don't steal. Theft. Theft is the only true sin. There's seven forms of theft. Those are the real seven deadly sins. All of the seven deadly sins that churchianity teaches people are the false seven deadly sins to throw them off the path so that they don't truly understand natural law and what behaviors do initiate harm to other sentient beings. By taking those behaviors or condoning those behaviors, which are forms of theft, that is how we transgress the Creator's laws. And Christians do not know this. Modern day Christians are believing in the false form of Christianity that was created for them thousands of years ago by Satanists of that time. The very people that crucified the biblical figure Christ, whether again you want to believe that that's an allegorical parable or whether it really happened, that's your choice. Okay. I tend to look at it more as an allegory that is teaching us true spirituality and true morality. But if you want to believe in the historicity of the Christ figure, go right ahead. That's, you know, your choice to do so. But any way you look at it, the ones who actually crucified the, you know, savior of the Christian religion, in the Christian religion and in the New Testament scriptures, they were the very people who gave modern Christians their form of churchianity, their form of the religion that they wanted to unify the entire Roman Empire under, the Romans. The Roman state is who actually gave people modern Christianity in the form of Constantine and the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. You know, I call it churchianity or Constantinianity. Whatever term you prefer, that's what most so-called Christians who are completely fake, false Christians say that they believe in today, that they're members of Constantinianity or churchianity. Call it one of those things, please, but don't insult the name of Christ by putting it in your religious dogmatic tradition, which is completely full of crap.
Well, I've been talking about this. I've said this over and over again. Once you study what happened at the Council of Nicaea, you'll never look at Christianity the same.
That's right.
Because when the Pizzo family rewrote the entire scripture, they changed everything. They even changed the way to pray. It's pathetic. But one of the things that I mentioned with the Council of Nicaea and the Pisos rewriting and editing the Word of God is the fact that there was a mystery school and philosophy school in the Mediterranean that wrote letters back and forth, and they discussed what was going on with different religions and cults and things during the time of the Romans.
Right.
And no one talked about the Book of Revelation until the first mention of it is 350 AD, 25 years after the Pisos edited the Word of God.
Right.
And what I think, personally, my opinion, is that the Book of Revelation is a giant predictive program, a giant, you know, stand down. It's mm-hmm. all trust the plan. Here's the plan. You
right.
can know the plan. You know, you don't have to do anything because eventually you see that the Satanists are taking over the world. Oh, it's good. That means Jesus is coming back
right.
real soon.
Yep.
You know,
it'll all work itself out magically in the end, you know?
Well, I know in the end, Creator does win, but I know this from personal spiritual experience. But the thing, what I want to say is, whether Christ is coming back tomorrow or he's not, it's up to you to learn the principles of Christ and be a true Christian and be moral. It's like anybody that you see in the world that lies and deceives, well, you know they're working for the other side. It's like when Mike Pompeo, you know, brags about, oh, we at the CIA teach our agents how to lie, cheat, and steal. And he's laughing about it. That man is not a Christian.
Nope.
To lie, cheat, and steal and laugh about it. No, no Christian does that.
No
okay.
true Christian would ever be in a governmental position because there is no shared authority with the creator of the universe. The creator of the universe and its law is the only authority. And any true Christian understands that and would never even condone the notion of man's laws and government. That is the attempted usurpation of the creator of the universe itself and claiming that man is the lawmaker. I mean, imagine that they don't even understand there's no such thing as authority vested in human beings, that in itself is an attempted usurpation of God and its laws. I mean, imagine the people that call themselves Christians believe in human authority. I mean, that is like, you might as well just spit right in the face of Jesus Christ. You might as well, because it's just a complete and utter insult to the very name Christ, you know? I want to go back quickly to the QAnon thing and then come back to the idea of the return of Christ in the modern world. But just think about this from the QAnon PSYOP. They had this phrase, not only trust the plan, which was a reference to Operation Trust during the Bolshevik Revolution, but the other big phrase that was echoed endlessly during the whole QAnon PSYOP time was I'm trying to think of where I was going to go with that. Just give me a moment to recall it. So it was trust the plan, and yes, a storm is coming. They said this over and over and over and over again in the QAnon drops. A storm is coming. A storm is coming. Okay? And then a storm did come in the form of the storm of the Capitol. And then after that, you heard nothing else from the QAnon community. You heard no more QAnon drops after that. Okay, so this was all a form of predictive programming. You know, they're telling people, they're putting in the subconscious mind, there's going to be a storm, a storm, a storm. And people think, oh, that means either, oh, you know, that could mean a physical storm. That could mean the idea that things are going to get really bad and it's going to be like a tempestuous storm. But really, that was a NLP technique of neuro-linguistic programming, predictive programming, to get people acclimatized to this idea that we're going to storm the Capitol. They inserted that as a mind control NLP tactic so many times over and over and over again into the subconscious minds of people believing this psyop. How many people that showed up at the Capitol were QAnon supporters and watchers and watched all, for all the latest QAnon drops? I'll bet you it was over 80% of the people, if not more. And this is how mind control tactics work. They're subtle. They're based in words. They're repeated over and over and over again to true believers that want to believe that someone else external to themselves is coming to save them. That's what religion does. That's what religion is designed for. And the people who designed it are the Satanists. They're the social engineers. They're the dark occultists who are really running the show on this planet. And they got people's numbers because they know that they're naive, imbecilic believers who will pretty much believe anything that they're told as long as it looks like it's coming from some kind of an authority figure or somebody in power or behind the scenes in power. I'm not trying to get anybody to believe anything. Don't believe me. I tell people right on my website, number one, don't believe me. Research things yourself, and you got to use your mind to come to the accurate conclusion, and you got to use the trivium method to do that. You got to use grammar, logic, and rhetoric and understand how to aggregate information, then sift through it, weed out logical inconsistencies to come to an understanding of what it means. Then you got to put it into practice in the world the right way. That's what wisdom is. It's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, also known as grammar, logic, and rhetoric, the trivium education process. And the problem is that's been removed from the educational system, and so we're left with a whole group of people, a whole species, essentially, that doesn't know how to think. They don't know how to come to accurate determinations. They don't have an understanding of the process of truth discovery. So they just believe, 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 and knowing isn't even part of their vocabulary anymore. Okay. The second thing I wanted to interject is regarding the idea that revelation was predictive programming. I agree with you to a large extent, but I think that the big part of that was to interject that idea that the coming of Christ is some externalized event, that it's like he's going to come on a cloud and rescue people from their own ignorance or rapture us out of here. I'm going to make a controversial and powerful statement right now here on this show. The second coming of Christ has already occurred, and it's not about a person. It's not about one person coming to the earth. It is a form of consciousness that arrives on the earth in many people. And perhaps in the biblical times, it was vested in only a few people, a handful of people. The biblical Christ figure in the parable, in the allegory, and his followers. And that was a small, 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 tiny collection of beings. And what did humanity do? They murdered it. They beat it unmercifully and crucified it, murdered it dead as a hammer, because their consciousness is so low and so debased and so degraded that they couldn't even stand it being present for any length of time. They had to actually completely kill and murder it. And the part of the scriptures that I think most elegantly and eloquently describes how debased and debauched the consciousness of the people was at that time is the story of the release of one of the captives by Pilate, and he's offering the people a choice between the murderer and rapist Barabbas and an honorable and moral and peaceful person, Jesus, who was only talking out against the erroneous belief and dogma of the religious authorities of his time, the monetary authorities of his time, and the political authorities of his time, and telling people don't buy into these people's claim of authority. The only authority is the creator of the universe. Okay? And when Pilate gave the decision to the people, it says in most of the Gospels that it's worded differently in each Gospel, but the essential idea is that they responded to him with a singular voice. Just think about that concept for a moment. If you have a crowd of people, a throng of people, and you're asking them what they want, they're coming back at you like they're responding at a rock concert and singing the refrain together. They all cried with the same voice, with one voice, as if it was one person responding. That's how in unison their mind, their mental state was, their degraded mental state. They cried with one voice, "Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus." That is an allegory about how evil the average human being is inside their mind and heart. They're not interested in what is right. All they want is what they want. They want selfishness. They want their own prosperity. They want to be right. They want to be on the winning team. They want to back the authority figure. They want to be bootlickers. They don't want to make sacrifice. They don't want to do the hard thing, even if it's the right thing. All they want is their creature comfort, and they just want to say yes to the authority figure, and they want to say yes to evil all the time. They don't even make an effort to be good. They don't even make an effort to improve themselves. They don't even make an effort to be better spiritually and morally. With one voice, all of the people cried, "Give us Barabbas. Give us the devil in our midst. Give us the evil that's gonna prowl around like a lion and eat everybody and kill our daughters and rape our daughters." That's what the people did, and I'm going to make this statement. The Christ consciousness has returned to the earth already. It's not coming. It is here, and it has been here, and it has been here since the forms of modern media have existed and awakened a much larger swath of people to the truth. And it is a body. See, that's why the whole idea of the body of Christ, it's a form of consciousness that inhabits a certain amount of people, forming a body of people. This is what you have to understand, that the scriptures are all written allegorically. It's to convey a concept, an idea. It's not meant to be taken literally, but it is accurate in its allegorical form. And right now, the Christ consciousness has returned to earth. And do you know what the people are screaming? The vast overwhelming majority of people, over 99% of them, are screaming, "Give us Barabbas," with one voice. And crucify that returned Christ consciousness, that body of people that represent the Christ consciousness, that represent understanding, knowing the truth, teaching the truth, and sticking to the truth no matter what it means for you in the physical. And they're crying, "Give us Barabbas," and kill the Christ consciousness yet again. And the Christ will continue to come back and return over and over and over again until the body encapsulates more people, until everybody is out of the satanic force of mind control, if we're still here. That will happen if humanity survives this round, which I don't know. It's very debatable and up in the air if we're going to make it and see any further dealings of humanity, at least on this planet. Obviously, consciousness will continue in some other form, but I don't know whether we're going to make it here in these bodies as human beings. It doesn't look too hopeful, let's just say, because of people's resistance and ignorance to reason and facts and natural law and objective morality and how things really work regarding human freedom. They want to believe and make up whatever they want. They don't want to learn how it really works. The vast majority of them anyway.
Well, once you realize that it comes down to principles and incorporating them into your life, everything changes. And you realize
that's why they have to come first. You know, yeah. Principles means first things in Latin, from the Latin principia, which means first things, the most important, chief among everything else. You know, mm-hmm. That's why they have to come first in our lives, even above people. People have to be secondary to principles. You know, you could say, oh, you have love, admiration, respect for human beings. Yeah, nothing wrong with any of those things. But if you don't put principles first, forget it. That's why all the people in the so-called freedom movement who think, oh, what's important is a system or reforming a system or creating something new, or it's food growth, you know, growing our own food or making our own monetary system or inventing new technology. None of these things are worth anything without principles coming first. If you don't put principles first, all of these alleged solutions will ultimately die out, because what are you working with? You're working with people that don't have principles. You're working with people who will lie, cheat, and steal, you know, and break natural law. What do you think is going to come out of that? Something good? A good human future? A good prosperous human future is going to come out of a body of people that don't put principles first? Principles have to be put first before any solutions can truly be manifested. I'm not telling people don't look into those solutions, but they are stopgaps until principles are disseminated as common sense. Let me just say that again so that this concept is clearly embedded. Really, really listen to this, people. Any proposed solution that isn't based in principles first are only going to act as stopgaps to slow down the progress and encroachment of tyranny, but will never actually lead to a true prosperous human future in the long term. You have to put principles in the teaching, the learning of principles, and the teaching of principles first, and ground those as solid bedrock foundations before you can truly build any lasting solutions upon them. Anything done without principles being put first is a stopgap so-called solution at best. And yeah, you can continue to do that, but like I said, it's not really time best spent. Learning and teaching principles and morality and natural law is time best spent, and you do that first, you lay the foundation, then you put solutions on top of that foundation.
You know, I was thinking years ago, basically, yeah, everybody wants Christ to come back, and we don't have an evil world, and we have freedom. And I would think to myself, oh yeah, well that would be good, but did you ever think that the reason that Christ, you know, in the person hasn't come back is because you haven't washed the blood off your hands?
Yeah.
You know,
look at what people condone. Imagine.
Well, I'm just saying that maybe we should clean up ourselves. You know, if you were to meet the King of England or some dignitary, you would clean yourself.
Right.
And you would put on your best clothes, and you'd present yourself in an orderly way. And yet, if you look at the mindset of most people and selfishness and the fact that they don't use their life here as to learn and grow in consciousness, that they buy into materialism, it's like, I don't know. I'm just saying, I look at what's going on when it comes to morality in the world, and the fact that people do not have steadfast, Christ-like principles straight from the law of God, It's like, you want Jesus to come back? Well, you're going to have to act like Jesus first.
Yeah, exactly. Embody the principles of Christ consciousness. You know, don't even externalize it. Look at it like something outside of yourself. You know, in the scriptures, in the allegorical, content of the scriptures, the Christ figure is telling people, you will go on to do even bigger things than I've done. You know, this idea that we should be waiting for an externalized savior figure instead of becoming the savior of ourselves by embodying the principles that the Christ figure in the New Testament was teaching is ridiculous. Like, I can't believe that they've so successfully, you know, cornered people into the thinking that again, the idea of truth and morality and God, the kingdom of heaven, and the Christ consciousness is something outside of themselves, that it's something external to their thoughts, emotions, and actions. It's about consciousness, folks. It's about bringing your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions into alignment with each other such that you're not in opposition. You're not in duality. You know, going back to the Book of Revelations, the mark of the beast, people don't even understand that it's not like a chip that is put in your body. It is the contradiction between your thoughts and your actions, that you say and think one thing, but then your actions betray that. That's why the mark is carried in the head and the hand. The head is where the thoughts are, and the hand is where your actions take place. Like, people can't even conceive allegorically of what is trying to be said by those who wrote the scriptures. They encoded it because at the times that it was written, you could have been killed for saying these things and believing them and teaching them. So they encoded into allegorical parables. And that's what they're trying to say in, you know, this idea of the mark of the beast. And then you just look at it from an occult perspective, then there's occult numerology in it. You know, why is it the number of 666? And that's the number of man, not of a man. People want to say, oh, that represented Nero who was trying to kill Christ. No, it wasn't one man, one historical figure or anything like that. It was the number of humanity, the number of mankind. And it represented that because in Hebrew numerology at that time, the number six represented incompletion, lack, not hitting your mark, not getting to your goal. Like I'm talking about when it comes to people who say they want freedom, and then you try to explain to them you're not meeting the requirements for freedom because you haven't changed your thoughts to be in harmony with the understanding of objective morality and natural law in the universe that the Creator put into effect. And your thoughts are out of alignment with that, so your behaviors are going to be out of alignment with that. You're going to do and condone things that are not in keeping with objective morality and which do steal from other people and initiate harm. And you're not going to hit your goal of reaching true freedom. So in numerology, a person like that would be listed as a six. They would be given the number six, okay? Because in human form, incompletion was represented by six. Full and total cosmic completion was represented by turning that upside down, and it was the number nine. That's the number of the end of cosmic completion, and it's the last of the nine digits, starting from 1, 10 if you include zero. So nine represented cosmic completion, the true end, you know, the true wrap up and full completion. But seven was the number of really hitting your goal. It's completion in the form of a human. And then eight was the number of infinity, which represented God. Okay, so you have these concepts in gematria or occult numerology. Six, incompletion, not hitting your mark, lack of consciousness, lack of understanding, lack of doing the right thing. And then seven is you have reached your mark in human form. You have done what is required of you as a human being. You've thought correctly. You've felt correctly. You've behaved correctly. You're in harmony with natural law as a human being. And then 8 again is infinity or God, and 9 is cosmic completion. Okay, the wrap up, the end of the story, the unification of everything. Okay, and if we triple these digits, they each represented thought, emotion, and action. This is, the first 6 would represent incompletion in your thoughts, in knowledge. The second one would represent you don't care enough to do what's required. That's incompletion or failure in your emotional aspect of your consciousness. And the third 6 would represent incompletion or failure of your actions. You're not taking the right actions that you need to take toward your goal. You're either lazy or cowardly, and you're not doing what's right. So to put those together, failure in the 3 aspects of consciousness was the number 666, and that's why it was said to be the number of mankind, of humanity, because humanity is failing in their thoughts, their emotions, and their actions, or in other words, the 3 aspects of their consciousness. To become the cosmic human being, you would have to reach completion or the attainment of the requirements in your thought, emotion, and action. And that's why that number was represented by 777. So 777 was the complete human being. It's the human being that had reached congruity or alignment with their thoughts, their emotions, and their actions, such that there's no contradiction between how they think, how they feel, and how they behave in the world. And that's why they put the number of cosmic, not cosmic completion, but human completion, okay? They put the number of human betterment and attainment on the slot machines, because when the casinos are trying to sell you that, like, you're in some world of heavenly form and prosperity and wonder and you know, adventure, and they want you to hit the jackpot as a human being and give you the false god of money, they want to entice you with the 3 sevens. You know, you're going to somehow come out of the number of man. You're going to come out of the beast consciousness. You're going to come out of satanic consciousness, and you're going to attain the jackpot of the 777. See, the occultists designed all of these systems, and they know what they mean. But the average dolt, the average moron in our society, doesn't know any of that occultism and what it means. So they keep, you know, buying into all of these proxies. You know, government is a proxy for true parenting. That's why there's 2 parties. You have one that represents mommy and one represents daddy. The Democrats are mommy. The Republicans are daddy. You're given proxy parents psychologically. You know, we're given these proxies all the time. You know, the Christ figure is a proxy for Christ consciousness, right? We're given numerological proxies. We're given word-based proxies, right? Like money, which is what everybody seeks and wants because they think that's real power in the world. You know, it's one eye, mon eye. I talked about this last week. You know, we're given money as the proxy for the true singular eye that the Christ figure in the New Testament said, make the eye single and you will become full of light. You know, this is representing unifying the 3 aspects of your consciousness. That's why the eye symbol is in a triangle representing the 3 sides of consciousness, the 3 aspects, thought, emotion, and action. I mean, these are the kind of things I teach in my body of work. It's learning how to think symbolically. It's learning how to think allegorically. It's learning how to think associatively. This is how occultism teaches. This is how occultism is structured. It gives people teachings in allegorical context and in associative contexts. And unfortunately, most people have lost the ability to think that way because their thinking has been distorted and debased, and they think unidimensionally instead of multidimensionally.
Well, I tell you, I'm just, I was looking at some of the headlines, Mark, and it, you know, it,
there's fun times ahead, aren't there? Humanity is going to have all the fun that they so richly desire, I think, coming up.
Well, certainly coming to a head.
Yep. And I have to say, they're going to deserve every bit of the hardship that comes with it. It's sad to say, but I can't lie to people, and I have to tell people the truth. So for all the people that think I'm a doomsayer or I'm just beating up on people, you don't understand what – I really just have to say to people like that, you don't know me at all. Like, just kind of just – shut up and be quiet about who you think I am, because you know zero about Mark Passio. You know nothing about me as a human being whatsoever. You haven't spent one millisecond with me. You don't know what I do with my time. You don't know how much effort I expend. You don't know what I put myself through. I bust my hump to put teachings out into the world that I know can actually help human beings, that are the real solutions. I've given up my life to do that. And, you know, for people who have done nothing, who have no skin in the game, who don't have one piece of work out, it's always those who are the crap talkers, you know? It's always those who think they know and they don't know a damn thing, who want to say, I'm somehow inadequate. No, I've done a better job than anybody else, quite frankly. And I'm not afraid to say, I'm not some false, humble jackass that's going to come out and say, oh, I guess I did okay, and I don't really know that much, and all I know is that I know nothing, and all you can never really know or be sure. No, wrong. I put in the work, boys and girls. I gave up my life, boys and girls. Okay? I'm not going to just hear that and not defend myself. That, you know, you want to say, you know, oh, you're full of yourself, or you have too much ego. I never claim to be egoless. I'm a human being. I have ego. Okay? I don't let the ego rule me like other jackasses do who want to talk crap on people when they've done nothing in their entire existence. They don't have a name. They've never made a name for themselves. Nobody knows who they are because they have no work out publicly. You Google their name and there's nothing there. You know? Google my name and see the amount of work that I've put out. It's more than most people would do in 100 lifetimes. 100 lifetimes.
Well, it used to be that way. But I'm sure Google has scrubbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scrub the mark.
Even what hasn't been scrubbed is considerable. Even what hasn't been scrubbed is considerable. So, once again, I just want to say to the people who say, I'm a doomsayer, I've never told people the achievement of human freedom is impossible. What I've told them, I've never said that once. I've never said it's impossible. It is absolutely possible if enough work is put in and the requirements for it are met. What I am telling people is the job you've done so far is so morbidly pitiful towards the achievement of the requirements of true freedom that it's absolutely laughable. And your masters are laughing at you. I personally think it's laughable, and I'm not one of your masters, you know. I want to see you free, and I'm rooting for you to be free, and I want to be free. Your masters are laughing at you because they know, just as I know, your work to this point has been dreadful. And that's not me beating up on anybody. That's me testifying to the truth of how things have actually played out on this planet up to this point. And that's what I will continue to do. I will continue to testify to the truth and not lie. And that's exactly what has been going on. And if people want to get angry about that, you're angry at yourself. You're not angry at me for saying it. You're angry because you know it's true, and you know you're one of the people that did nothing. And you sat on your lazy ass and you watched the tyranny happen and you pointed fingers at other people who actually tried to do something to turn it all around. And instead, you did nothing but talk crap. That's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. So I just want to say that in my own defense to people saying I'm beating up on people, I'm just a doomsayer. None of those things are true. Exactly as I just laid it out there is the truth about Mark Passio and what I do. Let's get that straight.
Well, I tell you, I'm looking at the headlines of Zero Hedge.
Right.
And I'm just amazed that there's so much going on in the world that is just, I mean, it's the corruption.
Yep.
Is in your face.
It's an abomination. This is the abomination of desolations is where that's the time we're living in, you know? Evil is just unleashed.
I keep saying, Mark, that it's the divine throwing this diarrhea in our faces saying, do you like this? Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
That's
here,
right.
Have some more.
Have all you want, and that's all you're going to get until you change your thinking and mm-hmm. get it into alignment with real morality, which is the laws of the creator of the universe. Have all you want. You're going to have all the suffering you want and more, and your children are going to have all that suffering and more. Know it. Know it like you know your own name. Know it like you know the sun's coming up on the eastern horizon tomorrow morning. That's all people are going to have.
Unless there's a Mercy Comet.
The greatest band in the known universe, Mercy Comet, my fictional band. I'm the lead vocalist and lyricist, thank you. And still Tavistock's favorite comedian.
Yes, well, and the president of the Eloy Dissatisfaction Party. I just, you know, the FBI seized a bunch of safe deposit boxes in California. And just robbed everybody. And, you know, this is forfeiture. You know, the government gets to take your property without even charging you. And everybody's okay with it. What did Donald Trump do about forfeiture? Nothing. Do you know that Donald Trump's attorney general, the guy from Alabama, what was his name, Jeff Sessions?
Right.
Now, they were doing a good job when Trump first got in 17. They had like 1,200 law enforcement officers have a convention, and all they talked about was child trafficking. And, you know, believe me, that sent the Illuminati into a tizzy. You know, oh, they're coming after our fun and games with children. And,
well, you know, it's no surprise. Trump's a staunch believer in human authority, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's amazing to me that anybody who's Christian can, again, believe in authority and believe that they're a person of God. No person of God believes in authority vested in human beings. The true authority of creation doesn't share its power.
Well, thanks for coming on, Mark.
Thank you, Jay. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com. the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest.